Good morning, good morning, and welcome to BWP Online with the Coffee Lady. That's me. I'm your host, Rhonda Kuykendall Javadi. We're streaming live on Blog Talk Radio from Southern California, and it is absolutely gorgeous here today. It's Saturday, December 6th, and this is our last show of the year, but we'll be coming back in January 2009 with more exciting guests to teach you how to take radically good care of yourself. Today, Ellen Miller is going to give us some important information about stress and how to reduce our stress levels through the holiday season and every day of the year. Questions and comments are welcome during today's show by calling 347-633-9371. Or you can type questions into the chat screen, and our chat host, Akilah Collins, we'll relay your questions to the guest and the host on your behalf. If you're listening by phone, please press 1 to get my attention if you want to share a question or comment. Otherwise, I will assume you're just listening. Today's chat room host, as I've mentioned already, is Akilah Collins. Akilah is a gifted and talented certified holistic health counselor and host of her own blog talk radio show, Key to Wellness. You can learn more about Akilah and her holistic health practice at www.qitowellness.com. Good morning, Akilah. How are you?
Good morning. Greetings to you. I'm so glad to be here on BWP Live this morning, or BWP Online this morning.
Yeah, and live. Boy, yeah, I tell you. Now, you guys, you're in Vancouver, Washington, and it's been really cold there, hasn't it?
Yes, yesterday was freezing, literally, it was freezing, and hopefully today will be a little bit better, but it's not raining, so, you know,
okay. That's
a blessing.
And okay,
I'm not seeing the chat room yet, just letting you know.
Okay, great, I'll try to refresh that, and thank you so much. And Akilah, I'd love for you to say good morning to our guest, Ellen Miller. Ellen, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you today?
Wonderful.
Good morning. Good morning, Ellen. How are you? I'm excited to hear about isobreathing.
Yeah, I think Ellen's going to have some information that we can all benefit from, so we'll get to that conversation in just a moment. But first, a little housekeeping. BWP is for beauty, wellness, and prosperity, and that's what we talk about every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific time. I'm Rhonda Kuykendall Javadi, and I'm a certified Reiki practitioner, warm spirit self-care consultant, owner of Wellness Uprising, and the creator of workshops and classes that empower people to use their intuition by tapping into their subconscious. I believe that self-care is the only level of care that matters. Without it, all other categories of care are rendered useless. These Blog Talk Radio discussions began in Los Angeles as the Beauty, Wellness, and Prosperity Networking Series at the famous Lucy Florence Cultural Center in the historic Leimert Park Village, where we continue to host empowerment workshops and networking functions to help people live well. To learn about these live events at Lucy Florence, visit the events page at www.lucyflorence.com, or you can visit my website at www.wellnessuprising.com. Our mission here at BWP Online is to educate, enlighten, inform, and empower you to adopt a self-caring lifestyle in which you take radically good care of yourself by giving to, nurturing, supporting, and caring for yourself before you attempt to nurture, support, or care for others. Every Saturday, we welcome guests who have made it their life's work to help others achieve a higher standard of living through natural wellness of mind, body, and spirit. Information shared on BWP Online is not to be taken as medical advice. It is for information and entertainment purposes only. If you are sick or suffering from symptoms of illness, we recommend you consult your personal physician or the healer of your choice. Now, sit back, relax, breathe, grab a cup, and listen up. Ellen Miller is a wonderful, 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 I love her expertise. She's a fitness expert who goes around and talks to people about how to be healthy, how to live more fully, and how to take great care of themselves to live a more balanced life, mind, body, and spirit. She's been with us before. I want to invite everyone to visit her website at www.isobreathing.com. That is isobreathing.com. And I want to welcome, I mean, with just an open heart and an open spirit, Ms. Ellen Miller back to our show today. How is everything today, Ellen?
Everything is fantastic. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for being here with us again. I appreciate it. Now, you just made a big move yourself, right?
Yes, I have. Moving from Louisiana to Dallas, Texas.
Wow.
So talk about stress.
Yeah, I do know, as I look at your show topic today, I said, boy, this is timely.
Very timely.
I think
go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
I was going to say stress-related, especially with holidays coming up. So there's a lot of great information that I'll be giving out today.
Okay, great. Now, we use the word stress. I mean, we all hear it every day. Tell us, what exactly is stress?
Stress is anything that gets you frustrated, that elevates your blood pressure, that gets you thinking to yourself and running lots of scenarios, and I know we've all done this. Something occurs at home or at work, and it's always that coulda, woulda, shoulda said, but never get to. And so you start running all those scenarios through your head, or you've got specific deadlines that you have, specific things that you need to get done, and they are barely done on time. Stress does really funny things to the body, and it can end up lowering your immune system, and people do get very ill from stress. Basically,
wow.
I have listened to lots of psychiatrists, psychologists, and other individuals who speak about stress, and what I had done for the purposes of today was actually place stress in three specific categories. One being good stresses on the body, one being stresses that you have control over, and another area where you have no control. So what I wanted to touch upon as far as good stress and what is that, my top priority is exercise. Actually, exercise does fit into this category. The birth of a child or grandchild, think about how you feel when that event occurs. Heart rate goes up a little bit, and you start feeling really good. It's that happy, warm feeling inside. If you get a job promotion or a raise at work, think about how that makes you feel. Those are good types of stresses on the body. The other one I wanted to touch upon, which most individuals don't realize, is you have control over a lot of the stresses that people put themselves under. And what I mean by that, actually, I'm going to give you an example of how to make a positive out of a negative situation. And this can go for a lot of varied instances. But the one I actually heard at one of the lectures, and it actually did end up hitting home, was a husband has very good intentions, gives his wife a call and says, honey, I'm on my way home from work, and do you need anything? And the wife will go, yeah, honey, do me a favor, pick up some milk, we just ran out. And sure, no problem, I'll see you in a little bit. So he goes to the store. Now, this is an individual who does not do the grocery shopping on a regular basis. But think about it. He pulls out that milk container every single morning to have with his cereal. So he goes to the store, and he looks at the shelf, and there are so many different sizes of milk, different brands of milk, and different types of milk. So he's trying to think about what type of milk does he pull out of the refrigerator. So he comes home again with all, you know, big smile on his face. Here's the milk, honey. And, she, you know, her face goes from big smile to a big frown because he didn't pick up the right size, the right brand, or the right type. And so she gets stressed, and frustrated and starts in on him, my God, how could you be so stupid? You take the milk out of the refrigerator every single day, and there starts the stress.
Yes.
Instead of communication, sweetheart, yes, I do need milk. Could you please go to the store, pick up a gallon of such and such brand and such type? Now, it's funny because the situation I ran into personally was, for all of you that have teenage children that just get their driver's license, they want to go to the store for you. Mom, do you need anything at the store? So I sent my son to the store and gave him, you know, $5, said go get some milk. So he knew he had to get a gallon, and he knew to get skim milk because that's all he would drink. But he didn't know the brand. So instead of getting the store brand, he gets the most expensive brand. So then he comes home with a big smile on his face, because thank God he got there safely and got home safely. And he comes in with a gallon of skim milk. And I said, now how do I make this out of, you know, make a negative situation into a positive? I said, sweetheart, you get to keep the change. And he looked at me, and I said, well, if you bought the store brand, you'd have more money in your pocket right now.
That's so again, great, Ellen.
You need to think about it. Was I going to really get upset? I was going to give him the change anyway, you know, even though it wasn't a lot, but just the whole idea of it. So it gave him some food for thought for next time he went to the store. He made sure he got the store brand and kept the extra change. You know,
wow.
Another situation that all of us run into as how do you have control over stress? For all of you with little children, I need you to really, you'll definitely understand this. You go tell your little kid, go clean your room. They are clueless. They have no idea what you're talking about. You're getting stressed because the room is filthy, clothes all over the place. If you allow them to eat in their room, they've got food in the room. Toys are all over the place. Homework papers all over the place. And you're getting more and more stressed. I said, go clean your room. So what I used to do when my kids were little is make a game out of it. Now, it didn't last long, but for the years that it did, it was great. I would take two laundry baskets, stick it in the middle of the hall. I would take a timer, and I would say, okay, kids, we're going to play a game. First thing you're going to do is get all of the dirty clothes out of your room. But in the red basket, you have to put all the colored clothes, and in the white basket, you only put the whites. Now, I had three children, three separate rooms, and I would sit there and go, on your mark, get set, go. And they would run into their rooms and scoop up all the dirty clothes and throw them in the varied baskets. That was a game for them and less stress for me. I didn't have to continuously yell at them. Now, what I want you to keep in the back of your mind is you're at work and you've got a full desk. We all have messy desks. And it's an overwhelming task to clean your desk or clean your work area. Same thing for the kids. They don't know what direction to take. But if you feed it to them in little bits, by number one, we took care of the clothes. Then I said, okay, the next thing you're going to do, and I will come into each of your rooms and help, is to pick up all your toys and put it in the toy box. And I'm going to time you, and whoever wins will get, you know, an extra half cookie with your snack.
Mm-hmm.
And so I gave them specific tasks, and that gave me less stress because I didn't have to constantly yell at them, go clean your room.
Yeah.
Now, as they age, that game did not last long. So then, as a parent, you pick and choose your battles. Is a messy room really top priority? They're good kids. They do well in school. They're polite to other adults. I can walk by down the hall and just close the door to their room and not see it. But if they needed their clothes cleaned, I gave them the days of the week that I did clothes and said, if your clothes are not in the laundry basket on such and such day, I'm not going to do your laundry. So at a very young age, they learned to do their own laundry.
Love that.
Which was a good thing, because when they went off to college, they were prepared to go do their own laundry. But again, it's simple little tasks like that that people get very stressed over, that there's no reason for it. So my question to you is, instead of saying, oh, woe is me, ask yourself, what can you do to resolve the situation? Or as my kids always told me, I always make lemonade out of lemons. How can you take a negative situation and make it into a positive? And for a lot of you that, you know, we're all busy working individuals, and most of us work with coworkers. Communication. It is amazing what communication and just a little bit of it can do. I myself, personally, I take lots of classes. I do a lot of reading, listen to a lot of tapes and CDs. And you always pick up a little bit of something. And my biggest thing is communication. Unless you talk to somebody, people are not mind readers. Same thing with the milk situation. If I sent my son to the store, he had no idea to get the store brand versus the most expensive brand. But he learned. Same thing with spouses. It's communication. They cannot read your mind on what are you really asking for.
You know, Ellen, I think that you really touched on something, like you said. You know, I mean, we're all working mature adults with lots of things on our plate, and that as our responsibilities increase and we begin to live more and more in our own heads, versus, you know, opening our mouths and pushing that communication outward to help us better cope with the other people in our lives.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
That's a great point. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No,
that's
fine. And what I was going to state about coworkers, think about it. No matter, I've worked in a lot of different facilities, and I speak with a lot of different individuals, and there's always somebody complaining about somebody at work. You know, people, I'll use the water cooler as the example because that's what most people do, is you hang around the water cooler and you bitch and complain about a specific individual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, oh, my gosh, I put a bunch of files on this person's desk, and instead of saying, I need you to go through the files, pick the important ones and get started with those first, the poor individual at the desk sees a pile of folders on the desk, stops at the top file to work through the whole list, and doesn't get to the important folders till later that afternoon. So instead of saying, hey, I need you to go through the folders, this is top priority here, please take care of this first, they just dump the folders on the desk, assuming that this person knows. And again, it's that lack of communication, so this person doesn't get the job done in a timely manner, and the other person's over at the water cooler talking to their coworker saying, oh, I can't believe she didn't do this, 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 and this. All these little situations that people do get stressed over can easily be resolved with communication. That's all it takes.
Okay, so we've got three kinds of stress, good stress, and stress good or bad that we have control over, and stress good or bad that we have no control over.
And those type instances, as far as no control, so you can actually see the difference where you do have control, is the death of a loved one or a family member or a friend. You have no control over that.
Yes.
But then you need to think about it, and how could you make that type situation into a more positive situation? Again, instead of the, oh, woe is me, and being extremely negative, is think of all the good positive things that you had in common or had done together or just those fond memories, and make it into more of a celebration of what that person stood for.
Yes.
I was speaking with an individual, and I'm going to give you a quickie example. Unfortunately, this woman that was a coworker of mine had lost her husband at an early age. And I had just started this job, and she's behind her desk and always with the, oh, woe is me attitude. And I said, what's going on? What's wrong? Because she looked really sad. She had tears in her eyes one day. I was like, what's happening? She said, well, the tears started rolling down her face. My husband passed away. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. When did this happen? 3 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so she's still holding on to that. And I asked her a very simple question. I said, you guys loved each other? She said, yes, very much. I said, do you think he wants to look down upon you at this moment and see you still sad, or does he want you to move on with life and still remember all the good, happy times you had together? And it made her stop and think. Now, I promise you I'm not a heartless person. I'm a very sensitive individual. But life goes on, and instead of her ingesting and constantly that, oh, woe is me. I said, well, what would he want you to do at this moment? I said, when was the last time you had gone and gotten your hair done or got your nails done? Because she was telling me she used to do this on a weekly basis. Well, it's been about 3 years. I said, don't you think it's time that you go and get your hair done and make yourself feel good about yourself?
Wow. 3 years is a long
it's
time
a very
to mourn on that level.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, yes, that will always be with her, and that's
mm-hmm.
perfectly normal and natural. But time moves forward, and it's time for her to move on with her life because her kids were after her on a constant basis
mm-hmm.
to move forward. I said, when was the last time you went shopping and bought a dress for yourself? Shopping always makes everybody feel better. So she said, you know, it's been a long time. I said, why don't you this weekend call your daughter who's been dying to take her shopping? I said, tell her you'd like to go out to lunch and you'd like her to go shopping with you. Think about how that's going to make her feel. And by the end of the day, with seeing a smile on her face, don't you think that'll put a smile on your face?
Yes. And I also think that – oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, and when she came into work on Monday, she had a smile on her face with a new dress and her hair done. She looked great.
That's great. You know, I've had conversations like this with people, and it is very striking. And I think that people don't realize the impact because, again, that kind of grieving is totally internal. They don't realize the impact it's having on the outer world and how it even makes you very isolated. I was having a conversation with a gentleman, and I really work hard to keep myself in a certain kind of space as often as I can. I mean, I'm not unrealistic. Life, it has its ups and downs. But I prefer positivity and happiness over the alternatives. And I was having a conversation with a gentleman who is probably about between 55 and 60 years old, and with tears in his eyes, he shared with me the poignant feelings he had about his grandmother's death. And I said, oh, my God, when did she pass? He said, 8 years ago. And like you, you know, I said, okay, well, again, I'm not heartless, you know. However, I mean, if the universe is working in the way that it's supposed to be working, my God, you had your grandmother, you're almost 60, you had your grandmother up until about 8 years ago, and you are grieving in this way for all this time. I mean, they're supposed to go before us. But it's a very interesting thing that you touch on because that is, even though you have no control over the death of the person, do you feel we have some control over the stress that follows in terms of processing that person's transition and their exit from our life on this plane?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there is a grieving process that you need to go through. And there's actually a lot of different groups and organizations out there that will help you cope with that by talking to somebody or to a group that is in the same situation. You see, you're not the only one. A lot of people take it so internally that they think they're the only one, and you get that whole woe is me attitude again versus what can I do to resolve this and move forward. So, again, people cope with stress in many different ways. Some people end up eating. And I was listening to a psychotherapist at a lecture, and she was giving an example of people drinking. Now, don't get me wrong. I usually have a glass of wine with dinner every single night. But she was saying when you get home from work, if you're really stressed, it's like, oh, my God, I need a drink. And most people go, well, it's not 5 o'clock yet, and they're sitting looking at their watches till that second hand hits that 5 o'clock, and then they feel it's okay to have a drink. But when that 5 o'clock becomes 4 o'clock, that 4 o'clock becomes 3 o'clock, and as well it's 5 o'clock somewhere, which is my favorite saying. But it's the whole idea when it's you're taking alcoholic drinks with lunch just to get through the day, you definitely need to seek help. And
wow.
There's nothing wrong with that. A lot of people do seek help these days. And sometimes by just talking to a professional about why you're feeling the way you're feeling will definitely help you go through a process and move forward with your life. So some other ways and a couple of areas I wanted to touch upon with coping with stress, and I'll go into a little bit detail in a second, was getting in some better nutrition, some form of exercise, of course, getting a good night's sleep. And then before we actually end, I had come out with a CD called Total Body Relaxation, and I wanted to actually go through a couple of minutes of that so you can see how to actually help relax the body.
Oh, so, what a treat. Okay.
Better nutrition. When most people are stressed, they go for the higher, fattier foods and mostly carbohydrates. I find when you're getting in better nutrition, and what I mean by that is an equal balance of your protein, carbohydrates, getting in your fruits and vegetables, you just start feeling better. And when you're feeling better, you're able to cope with things a lot easier. And that's where a good night's sleep comes in. Think about it. You have a very stressful day at work. You come home. You're dealing with the kids, after-school activities. You've got a report that's due. You don't get to it till about 9, 10 o'clock at night. We all live with deadlines these days. So you're trying to lay down 11, 12 o'clock at night, and you're twisting and turning. Your mind is going a million miles an hour. You're twisting and turning. You finally fall asleep, and all of a sudden, you're jolted awake. You'll turn over and look at the clock, and it's only 1 in the morning.
Wow.
So you tried going back to sleep again. You're twisting and turning. You finally go back to sleep, and then you're jolted awake again. And you look at the clock, and it's only 2 in the morning. And I know we've all had nights like this.
Uh-huh.
I had actually taken a class going back about 4 years ago now, and one of the things that they pressed upon was if you have a very stressful day, you've got a lot of things that you need to get done the next day. Basically, what's not allowing you to sleep is your brain is still going a million miles an hour, so you don't forget things. So you're mentally going over this list in your mind over and over and over, and it's not allowing the body to get the rest that it needs. So what I was taught, and I do keep a pad next to my nightstand every single night, and 10 minutes before I go in, I do journal, and then I write down the stuff that needs to get done the next day, stuff that you didn't complete today, and stuff that is absolutely have to get it done. Because if it's written, it's real. And if it's on paper, you don't have to think about it. When I first started doing this, it took a couple of weeks, but then I was sleeping soundly through the night again. Because I didn't have to remember the stuff. The stuff was on paper. I'd wake up in the morning and I'd have my list.
Wow, Ellen, I want to stress this exercise for people because I think that anything that can help people sleep through the night, almost everyone that I know is complaining of not being able to sleep through the night. So what you're saying is you keep a notepad next to your bed, and instead of just allowing things to run around in circles inside your head, you jot down the notes, kind of do a brain dump.
Absolutely.
So that...
Oh, my gosh, what you just said, brain dump, that is the exact terminology that was used in this class. That's amazing.
Great. So, yeah, I see, and because it makes sense. So then you empty, you empty your brain.
Yes.
To worry about all that stuff. You're not going to forget to pick it up and worry about it the next day.
Absolutely.
And you can just relax into your restful night's sleep.
Absolutely.
That's a great idea.
Because if you wake up refreshed in the morning and you start out with a good breakfast, it's amazing how you let those little stresses go instead of holding on to them and becoming stressed. Your whole outlook on life does start to change.
Mm-hmm.
My question I always ask everybody is, how do you see your life? Is your glass half full or is it half empty? And for those that say it's half full, they do let a lot of the little things go. It's not worth getting stressed over.
Mm-hmm.
And for those that are, oh, woe is me, and their glass is always half empty, they will take on a lot more stress than the other individuals.
Wow.
So, again, it's just thinking about things, and is that really worth me getting stressed over? Now, the other thing I usually recommend to people, and this deals with situations all over the place, whether it's with family, friends, coworkers, if a situation comes up, I usually tell people to take 5 slow, deep inhales and exhales. Mom always said count to 10 before picking a fight.
Yeah.
These, with the iso breathing, you take 5 slow, deep inhales and exhales, which is equivalent to about 30 seconds. That is what I call my think time. Think before you speak. Because a lot of times people will say something and then go, oh, my God, I can't believe I said that, versus giving yourself that 30 seconds to, is this worth me getting upset over? And I want to give you a very quickie instance. I had an individual that came to see me basically for stress reduction. She goes, my nutrition stinks. I don't exercise. She was a female helicopter repair person. She worked out of state. She had a family. And she worked mostly with men. I never met a helicopter mechanic before.
Wow.
So she took on a lot of stress with that job by itself. But she said she works all with men. And they were always teasing her, and she was getting very stressed. So I taught her my slow, deep breathing, some relaxation exercises that I had given her, some regular exercises, and we talked a little bit about better nutrition than what she was currently getting in. She came to see me for 3 days in a row. Then she had to go back to work, and she was gone for like a week and a half at a time. So when she came back, she was like, oh, my God, my life has changed. I said, what are you talking about? She goes, I am now letting the little stresses go. I take my breath.
Wow.
I have my think time, and I look at the guys, and I go, that's not worth getting upset over. So I'm letting that go over my head. And she'll turn her back around and go do what she has to. She was like
yep.
a different person. So I can't describe enough to take a few slow, deep breaths, which clears the brain, and it gives you some think time. And it's
yeah.
really amazing what that can do for you.
And I love that you say that it clears the brain, because literally that is what happens, right? You're supplying the brain with fresh oxygen.
Absolutely.
And a healthy, nice, fresh blood flow
mm-hmm.
so that you can think more clearly.
Absolutely.
I love the breathe and wait. Okay.
That really does make a very big difference. So
uh-huh.
as far as better nutrition, I'm not talking about cutting out all junk food. I'm saying cut back on it. Read the package, see what a portion size is. Make sure you eat breakfast. Make sure you get in a little bit of protein with it. I am not the type of trainer that strongly believes in high-protein diets. There's so much information out on the web as far as even going according to the food guide pyramid, which every couple of years does change, making
uh-huh.
sure you're getting in a little bit of protein with every meal that you take. And again, for consistent energy and feeling good and being on top of your game, I recommend 6 small meals a day so that you're constantly grazing throughout the day.
Okay.
And that does give you constant energy. And if it's healthier choices, the fruits, the vegetables, basically it gives you both mental and physical energy, which I consider more positive than loading yourself down with a bag of chips and a half gallon of ice cream. To me, there's no positive nutritional value there. Although, don't get me wrong, I do eat baked chips, and I do eat low-fat ice cream. But again, a portion size.
Yes.
So what I usually recommend to people, especially those that are trying to lose some weight, is especially if you're going to eat ice cream, I tell them to start out with the low-fat. And if you can't get the low-fat and you're eating regular ice cream, start out with a portion size. Then eventually, see if you can get away with 3/4 of a portion size. Put it in a fancy little dish. And I use a demi-tasse spoon, which is similar to like a baby spoon.
Yeah.
And I eat my ice cream with that. And most of the time it's ice milk, so it melts real fast, and anything that's melted you can't have. So it doesn't mean eat fast. It means eat slow, savor the flavor, and enjoy it.
Wow. Okay. Very good.
And
it. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, the next thing that I usually do for those that do drink alcohol, whether it's a mixed drink or straight alcohol, make sure you drink water for every sip of alcohol, 2 to 3 sips of water. Because if you're looking to get drunk, just take a couple of shots of tequila. But if you're looking for flavor, to just make sure you have water along with it to give you that fuller feeling.
Okay. I love the way you support whatever your goal is.
So if you want to have it, that's fine, but make sure you have other things along with it. Now, the other thing a lot of individuals do stress about is going to the holiday parties. This is holiday season. And for most individuals, we're talking at least a half dozen, if not more, parties that they're going to be going to. And it's the stress of gaining weight. Most individuals will gain anywhere from 12 to 15 pounds between Thanksgiving and New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the parties that you're going to go to, what I end up doing is make sure I eat my normal meals during the day. That's number one. Number two, when I go to a party, I always make sure I have something small to eat before I go, whether it's a half a sandwich, and I do encourage sandwiches, or a salad, or just something in your stomach to give you that fuller feeling. So even if you're driving to the party and eating an apple, it will give you that fuller feeling before you get to the party. So when I get there, I usually get a glass of wine and I do some socializing first. I never stand near the food table.
That's probably a huge part of my problem.
Well,
wow.
To help you out with that, the next thing I do is I will take with my glass of wine, as I'm sipping it, and I only do one glass of wine, I will walk up the one side of the table and down the other side, and I'm looking at the different types of foods that they actually have on the table. Number one, I'm lactose intolerant, so I stay away from the dairy, which a lot of the stuff is in cream sauces.
Yes.
The other thing I don't eat is fried food. The oils that they use just upset my stomach. So for me personally, that's an easy given. So most of the time, I usually end up with the fruit or the carrot sticks.
Yeah.
But if you take a good look at the table, they usually have tiny little plates. So if you cruise up and down, make your decision of what do you want to eat. And then only put those foods on your plate. And once the plate is full, you're done. That's it. Don't go back to seconds. So if you've already started out with eating that apple or half sandwich before the party, you've already got that fuller feeling in your stomach.
Ah, now that's a good strategy. I think I see a question in the chat room, if I could find my switchboard to get to Akilah. Let's see. Akilah, can you hear me?
I can.
Great. Okay, you have a question for us?
I do. Dr. Nee says, I'm sorry, I'm just trying to scroll. Dr. Nee says that she's in a very new relationship with a very supportive man who makes no demands other than that she take good care of herself, do the bills, and cook and grocery shop. And so she's a PhD in love for the first time in her first ever relationship and is beginning to want to keep everything, you know, spotless, the dishes washed, the floor vacuumed, all of those things, because she just simply wants him to know how much she loves her, how much she loves him, excuse me. And so she's wanting to know, how does she balance this self-applied stress with the demands of launching her business, caring for herself as a newly dependent diabetic with a weight issue?
Well, the first things first, number one, is it a top priority that every single dish is washed and every single thing is put away? I mean, that some individuals are that compulsive. If you walked in my kitchen, you would see dishes in the sink, dishes in the dishwasher, and dishes on the counter. Showing somebody that you love them, there are lots of different ways of showing that, but most is verbalization. you need to communicate, you need to tell them. As far as being a diabetic and weight issues, number one, you need to talk with your physician first. Get an okay to exercise. Speak with a registered dietitian and have them put you on a nutrition plan. When it comes to nutrition, I always let people know up front, I am not a registered dietitian. I do general nutrition. If you have health issues, no matter what kind, whether you have heart problems, you're diabetic, whether you're hypoglycemic, you need to see a registered dietitian. I do not play around with that because that's dealing with your life and your health. So with that, you need to have that taken care of with somebody that really knows the details and will be able to help you out on an individualized basis. But showing somebody that you love them, it's just the little things. It could be holding hands. It could be some people don't kiss in public. It could be kissing in public. It could be just taking a walk. What I usually encourage is sitting down at dinner time and just talking. How was your day? What was the best part of your day? What frustrated you most? Well, what could we do to resolve that? And, you know, it's communication.
Okay, great.
I hope I answered your question.
Dr. Nee, you can let us know whether or not that answers your question. Akilah, was there anything further you wanted to add? Uh-oh, I can't hear Akilah now.
Sorry, I was muted out.
Oh.
Not at this time.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, and welcome, Dr. Kiernan.
I just want to welcome Dr. Kiernan to
the call.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Kiernan and Dr. Nee. We've got doctors all up in the house today. Thank you for joining us, guest 852. Okay. Now, Ellen, I know that there were five different areas that you wanted to touch on today. So we've covered the communication, the nutrition. What were the other three?
Getting in some form of exercise. And what I mean by that, not every individual is meant to join a gym. Again, while I was in the process of moving, the mover said they'd be there at 8. They were there by 7:30 in the morning, so, quote-unquote, there went my workout. I was fortunate enough to have six packers come and pack us up. So I thought about it and said, what can I do to get my exercise in without running to the gym? So I was able to do some basic stuff at home. And what I call basic, if you don't have bad knees, you can do modified squats. That takes care of the entire lower body. Push-ups, if you can't get down on the floor and do push-ups, you can do push-ups off the wall. And actually, if you go to youtube.com and look up iso breathing, I actually give some demonstrations of all these varied exercises that you can do at home, because the individuals that I work with do not want to go to a gym. And so by push-ups work the full upper body. The breathing technique that I teach, I don't get on the floor and do crunches anymore. I work the abdominals that way, and there's other variations to actually add strength to the abdominals. The other thing before we end up going off is I wanted to talk a little bit about total body relaxation and the CD that I had come out with.
Yeah.
Most individuals, and this is a 15-minute CD that can be placed on your computer that you can do while at work. Tulane Cancer Center actually purchased a number of them for their cancer patients. I've actually had an individual that told me that she never got to listen to the end of it because she was so relaxed she was able to fall asleep at night. And that's why she purchased it. But what I would like for everybody who's listening is to get into a chair. If you're driving, please don't do this. Legally, I have to say that. Sit in a chair, place both feet on the floor, and place your hands down at your sides. What I'd like for you to do is to actually just close your eyes.
Uh-huh.
I want you to take a couple of slow, deep breaths. And slow exhales. Just clear your mind. So I want you to slowly inhale and slowly exhale. And with each exhale, I want you to feel your body relaxing. Slowly inhale and slowly exhale. And you can actually feel your stress leaving your body. I want you to start with your forehead. After you take your deep breath, as you're exhaling, I want you to relax your forehead. Relax your eyebrows so you're not furrowing your eyebrows. Relax. Slowly inhale and slowly exhale. With your next slow, deep breath, you're going to relax your jaw. I want you to take your tongue off the roof of your mouth and slightly open your mouth. Slowly inhale and slowly exhale. And as you're exhaling, you're going to feel your jaw relaxing and you will feel your neck relax. Slowly inhale and slowly exhale. With your next slow, deep breath, you're going to relax your arms. They are going to feel very, very heavy. Slowly inhale and slowly exhale. And with every exhale, you're going to feel your muscles relaxing. Slowly inhale and slowly exhale. And with your next deep breath, as you're exhaling, you're going to feel your back sinking deeper into your chair. Slowly inhale and slowly exhale. You're going to feel your body getting lighter, like you're floating on a cloud. Slowly inhale and slowly exhale. And continue with your slow, deep breathing. And that's just a little snippet of what this CD is about. So while you're at work and you're finding yourself stressed, to take a couple of slow, deep breaths and just relax different muscle groups throughout the body. And it's mental visualizations along with the verbal that help you just relax. And we all need that at some portion every single day.
Now I have a confession to make here, Ellen. That I have this CD, and I didn't just go through this exercise with you because I'm like the other lady that you said, every time I put this CD on, I fall asleep. It is the most relaxing thing, listeners, that I can do for myself. The ISO breathing workout, which is wonderful, and even that in an interesting way, it's a workout, and I mean, it's a workout that you feel, but it is relaxing. The breathing, the music, the movements are very fluid and natural, and then this relaxation CD is just, this is just like a sleeping pill.
It is. I love it.
It's so wonderful.
I personally use it. Now, the other thing I wanted to touch upon as far as holiday stress, because this is holiday season, there were two movies that I had seen. One was Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase, going back many years ago. And the new movie, I think it was called Four Christmases with Reese Witherspoon.
Dying to see that, yes.
Actually, it was funny. It was very good. But they're talking about visiting families, and a lot of individuals get very, very stressed when visiting families. So number one, your slow, deep breathing will work. The second thing you need to think about is how can you make a negative situation positive? And the way you're going to do that between now and New Year's is every single day, I want everybody to write down 5 things that they're grateful for that occurred that day. Because if
wow.
you start looking at the positive things that are happening in your life, it makes things flow even smoother. An example of that, before I go to bed, I have this journal. When I mentioned earlier that I journal, all I do is write down 5 things that I was grateful for that day. And there are some days that are just god-awful, but I'll sit down and think about what was positive during the day. Well, the positive of the sun was shining. The positive was I had seen a butterfly fly by. You know, you can pick something positive out of any day. You know, God forbid you've got a family member in the hospital. Well, they put a smile on their face. You know, what makes you feel good? You know, is it a child telling you a joke? Then give that child a call and say, hey, I need a joke today. You know, who in your life puts a smile on your face? And you need to make sure you contact that individual. You know, there's this other class. Of course, I take lots of classes. But this one class I was taking, the way I put it, and my daughter laughed hysterically till it happened to her, was I put myself in a happy bubble, and I don't let anybody burst that bubble. So the way to put yourself in a happy bubble is think of a situation that makes you put a smile on your face. What makes you happy? Whether it was the birth of your child, whether it was somebody telling you a funny joke or sending you a funny joke through email, what put that smile on your face? Think about it. When a situation is starting to go sour, think about that happy situation to put you back in that happy bubble. I was driving in the car with my husband, and his GPS is a little bit outdated, so it doesn't have the newer streets on it. So he was getting very frustrated, and I can feel his frustration. I mean, you could just feel that negative energy coming at you. So I put my hands up as a barrier. We're sitting at a traffic light, and he's sitting there mumbling and cussing under his breath. And I put my hands up, and he goes, what on earth are you doing? I said, I'm not letting you break my happy bubble. He goes, what are you talking about? So I explained it to him, and he said, you know what? I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to send these negative vibes to you. He said, we're lost. I said, okay, stop being a male and let's ask for directions. So my daughter ended up winning this radio contest, and she called me, and I could just tell something positive and great happened to her. I'm like, what's going on? She goes, I just won money on this radio show. I said, right now you're in a happy bubble. I said, so anytime you start getting sad, I want you to think of this situation. So for all of you listening out there, what is going to put you in your happy bubble? And then don't let anybody break it. Dare somebody to try to break it, and you keep upbeat and positive to keep yourself in that happy bubble.
I love that.
Food for thought.
That is wonderful. You know, okay, now we have a few minutes left here, and I am going to do something that I try very hard not to do on my show, but I see that Dr. Nee is totally beside herself. She asked the question, and then people started calling her on her phone, and she missed your response because the call waiting was blipping you out. Now, of course, you can always find it in the archives, but since we've got about 2 to 3 minutes of talk time left, I'm going to invite Akila to ask that question again. And Ellen, I know that there were some things that you touched on for Dr. Nee, and so don't be angry at the person trying to call you. Akila, do you still have Dr. Nee's question handy?
Sort of, but I can read. I think I can recreate it.
Okay.
So she was saying that she is in a relationship with a very supportive man who only asks of her that she take good care of herself and cook and shop and grocery shop and cook. And she finds herself doing above and beyond that because she wants him to know how much she loves him.
And so she feels that doing all of these things is a self-inflicted stress. She's creating more stress for herself. And she wants to know how to balance that with launching her new career as well as, there was one other thing.
Well, with her being diabetic and...
yes, and overweight.
Okay. As far
Thank
as
you.
Him taking care, you know, he wants her to take care of herself. What I would encourage to show how much she does care and love him is exercise together. Go for a walk. Go for a bike ride together. Go do something together. He wants to, her to take care of the cooking and the shopping. And sometimes that can be stressful in itself. You had a full day of work. You're coming home. You're tired. And you need to first start cooking dinner. She can do the food shopping. Cook dinner together. It is amazing how cooking together can bring people closer together. And as you repeated the question, I started thinking about it. When I first met my husband, he did a lot of the cooking. And then as time went on, I had taken over all of the cooking chores. And then when the kids were very, very little, we decided, because we really couldn't afford to go out, to do date night at home. And, again, you should always have a date night to literally get out of the house. But what we started doing was got some cookbooks and started making some gourmet meals together where we would chop the vegetables together, we'd do the cooking together, we would sip on a glass of wine and talk while cooking. And again, even if he is not crazy about cooking, to this day, every Saturday evening, if we don't have plans to go out to dinner with friends, we do a gourmet meal at home. And we'll start about 4 in the afternoon, well, actually 3 to go pick up the products that we need for the meal, and then just start chopping vegetables together, cleaning vegetables, trying new recipes, which definitely brings people close. Food always brings people closer together. So that's a good, fun thing. But then again, for her weight and the diabetes, I had mentioned earlier that she please go speak to her physician and a registered dietitian. Because, again, I'm not a registered dietitian, and when I'm speaking about nutrition, it is very generic. It is not meant for those with physical ailments, health matters, such as if you're working with a cardiologist, you need to eat heart healthy, which I can help you with in general, but speaking with a registered dietitian makes all the difference in the world because they're going to individualize the program to what your specific needs are. And again, taking care of yourself is that's a two-person job. You've got to, number one, want to. Doing it for somebody else is really not going to cut it. You have to want to do it for yourself. So if you include this significant other with this, that's showing that you do care. Hey, let's go out for a bike ride together, or let's go for a walk, or go mountain climbing. I don't know where you live. But just to do something together, going above and beyond, sometimes on real busy days, that's stressful enough, just getting through your days. Keeping the house super neat and clean, do it for yourself. Stressing out, you know, I've got friends that have their canned items in alphabetical order. They're on lines in the shelves, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, you've got to be kidding. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to the store and have purchased the same thing 4 or 5 times because I couldn't remember if I had it. Don't try to be so neat unless that's just your personality and that's just what you need to do for yourself. Doing something to please somebody else, honey, you've got to please yourself first. And unless you put yourself first, trying to please somebody else, you can do that for your entire life, and for some individuals, you'll never please them. That's unfortunately the way life is.
And on that note, we have 35 seconds left streaming live. Dr. Nee is very pleased with that response. Thank you so much, Ellen. I want to say to everybody, happy holidays. Kwanzaa, Yenu, Iwe, Naheri, Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Boy, I tell you, this year went really fast. I thank everyone who has helped me to make this a successful year on BWP Online. Please visit the archives. Continue to refer your friends and family members. Our guest again today was Ellen Miller. You can learn more about Ellen at www.isobreathing.com. Ellen, I want to wish you the very best holiday season, and I thank you again for joining me for a second time, and I hope we have an opportunity to work together again in 2009.
Oh, absolutely, and I just wanted to wish everybody a happy, healthy, and safe holiday season.
And great, thank you.
I was going to say, and a non-stressed one. Breathe,
yes.
Breathe.
Ellen, thank you so much, and I know I'll be talking with you again. And Akilah, thank you for your help in the chat room. Thank you to our other visitors in the chat room, Dr. Nee and Dr. Kiernan, and our blind guest number 852. Thank you all so much. Happy holidays, and be well.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye now.
Bye.